Welcome to episode 36 of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't, coming at you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network. I'm your host, Trey Gibson. Guys, fun topic for today. I'm kind of excited to do it. We're going to talk a little bit about eat your veggies, getting kids to eat their vegetables. Seems like an incredibly simplistic issue. One of the things that I know is that I've got a lot of parents out there, and I've got a lot of parents to be. I've got a lot of parents out there that have sent an email saying that they've got babies on the way, etc., and they're brushing up and learning as much as they can. So this is one of them that can seem oversimplified, but if you're a parent, more than likely you either struggled with this or something like this, or you might do it eventually. Hopefully you won't. We're going to talk about some strategies today that might actually help put you in a position to completely and totally prevent that right out the gate, which is really what all of us parents want. But before we get into that, let's do a little bit of housekeeping for today. As always, I ask guys, if you want to, like me on Facebook or follow me on Twitter. Just a really easy way to get updates. There's a little bitty microcast that I sent out. There's little small episodes that I put on both Twitter and Facebook that don't go on this website here. So jump onto those two, like me on those two, and follow me through those, and you'll get a little bit of extra info as well as just updates, little things that come up throughout the day, and just kind of a fun way to stay up to date and current on what's going on. Guys, also consider becoming a PTAC member. PTAC stands for Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescent and Kids. All that is just talking about becoming a member of the site. Consider doing that. If you feel like you're getting 20 cents an episode or more out of this a day, consider becoming a member and partnering up with us and helping spread this information out there to help other folks as we go through this. Also, along with that, consider commenting on the bottom of these. I love getting discussions started about these things. And then also consider commenting over on Facebook and Twitter as well. We've gotten a lot of discussions started through those venues, and it's a lot of fun. I love to hear y'all's perspectives and opinions. It may be completely opposed to what I said, and I'm very okay with that. I love to hear new ideas, and I always like to listen to new stuff. Guys, also consider checking out the blog. I have a blog right up there. If you look right above this post, right above my logo that we have there, you'll see that there's an opportunity to click on blog. Jump over there and take a look at some of the stuff we put out over there. Just typically, in most cases, little funnies, little things that I found humorous. As parents, if we're not careful, we can pull our hair out, and we can have a really hard time. And so let's be honest, sometimes we need the ability to be able to laugh and crack up. That's a great way to do it, and I try to keep things light and fun over there, so check out our blog. Also, guys, take a look at our book lists. There's a lot of information out there that I cannot get to in every single episode. I am only on episode 36 today, and I feel like we still have a junk ton left to go over. One of the easier ways to start getting this, if you're one of those prepper types that likes to get all the information all at one time when they can, jump up into that book list and start getting those books and start reading them. You will not regret it. You will enjoy yourself, would be my guess, and you will also be able to learn some new things. So jump in there and do those. Guys, also consider jumping over to contact us. If you have any questions, comments, thoughts, concerns, something that you want to talk about, something you want to see a podcast episode on, jump over to the contact us form, fill it out, let us know, is there any questions that you have, is there something you'd like to see featured on the podcast, maybe a topic that's been going on lately. I love getting y'all's direct input on that more than anything. Guys, also, if you look over here to the right of this box here that says episode 36, if you will see that there is the ability to log in through Facebook. I hate putting in sign-up crud. I just don't like doing it. So jump over there, hit log in with Facebook, skip all the crap and filling stuff out, and boom, you'll be logged in. Guys, right below that, you can see you can share Family Podcast on several different venues now, whichever one of those you prefer. Also, guys, consider becoming a podcast subscriber. That just allows you to be notified of new episodes when I'm kicking them out. You'll get a little small email that says, here's a new topic. You can click on it, jump over, and start listening to it. It's completely free, and you can unsubscribe from it at any time if it's bothering you. Guys, also consider listening to FPN on your mobile device. If you have an Apple device or an Android device, I've got two options over there that allow you to stream these directly into your mobile devices and listen to them there. And last, guys, consider connecting with FPN through Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and our RSS feed. We want to hear from you. We want to see you guys, and we'd like to talk with you. And if you have any questions, comments, shoot them out there. And then last, guys, at the end of this episode today, consider jumping down there and typing in some comments about what you thought about the episode today, what you agreed with, what you didn't agree with. And then if you'll click down there, it says that you can subscribe to the comments or be notified of new comments. What that'll do is anytime somebody posts, you'll get updates and emails about what's going on, so you can be able to stay in conversation with the topics that are being discussed. So, guys, with all that out of the way, let's jump in for our topic today, which I titled "Eat Your Veggies." And I was going to do it with exclamation, you know, points. But when you go to upload an MP3 into iTunes directory, when you start throwing in things like exclamation points or any kind of signs that aren't just standard text or an underscore, you bake iTunes noodles. So I left them out. I left them out for today. But the topic for today is "Eat Your Veggies." Getting your kids to eat their vegetables. This is a major issue for many parents out there. Because let's be honest, we live in a society that is predominated by salty, sweet stuff. It's all about making things taste as good as possible. I've always been amazed how you can take something really nasty, but if you just add salt to it, it can taste really good. And sugar's no different. If you ever want to do something interesting, take your pantry first. Go take your pantry and go through every single thing and read the labels and look how much you will see the word sugar or high fructose corn syrup pops up in those ingredients. Because they put sugar in just about everything. They put sugar in your ketchup. Do you know that? Go check your ketchup out sometimes. They put sugar in your ketchup. So we've become a society that is predominated by sugar, 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 salt, 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 make them taste as rich and as bold as possible. And so, I think a lot of us have a hard time getting our kids to eat our vegetables because, in many cases, they don't have these super sweet tastes. You know, maybe we put some salt on them, maybe we don't put a whole lot on them, right? And so kids will take one look at them and like, man, this isn't a cupcake. Man, forget this crap. I want me some cupcake action. And they don't want to eat their vegetables. And so I think we struggle with this. But guys, it may not necessarily be veggies. It might be getting your kid to drink water instead of orange juice or sodas or etc. And so these principles that we're going to go through today, they work on multiple levels. Not just for vegetables, they can go through all these ever different levels. Something else that I was thinking about, my brother-in-law has been talking about, he and his family have moved over to going vegan. And I started thinking about how easily this could apply, too. If you've got kids that have been used to eating a certain things, they're used to drinking their milks, and they're used to eating their cakes, and they're used to having meat, and then you're going to move to something totally different. These principles today can actually be very effective in something like that, too. If you're moving vegan, if you're making a huge lifestyle change, no problem. We can square that way with our kids as well. So let's jump into what are kind of my top ideas, top belief systems, the top seven things that I say, how do we get our kids to eat their vegetables? Number one, I most emphatically recommend, do not force kids to eat vegetables. Don't sit there and make them, don't sit there and ride them, don't sit there and get onto them. Now, I can hear some of you parents out there going, oh my goodness, Trey, what are you implying here? That we shouldn't make them, you know, not eat something they don't like? Not by what you're thinking. I'm not saying that we should just let our kids eat whatever is the most pleasurable to them, right? If that's the case, they're going to be eating ice cream for the rest of their life, become obese, probably morbidly obese, look at diabetes, etc. And that's not what I'm talking about, nor is that what I'm supporting. However, what I am trying to say is, we want to teach our kids, we want to encourage our kids to try new stuff. There was a lady named Susan, I think her name was Susan Stifelman, and she's actually got a really good article. She's a licensed and practicing psychotherapist and married family therapist, and I read some of her stuff a while back, and she does a lot of parents coaching too, and I read something a while back, and she said a comment I thought was really good. She said, the more that you need a child to do anything, the more you contribute to the possibility that they will resist you. And I thought that was really good and pretty insightful. The more that we need a kid to do anything, the more that we contribute to the possibility that they will resist us. And it's the same thing with doing vegetables. If you try to force your kids because you need them to eat, you are inviting the possibility that all of a sudden they're going to become more resistant to it. And so I always, when it comes to your kids, encourage them to try new things. Invite them, if you will, to say, oh man, you ought to try this new thing. Do those kinds of things, but don't make it mandatory. Because the minute you make it mandatory, that's whenever you often see those results happen. It's the classic Romeo, it's the Montague and Capulet. Excuse me if I didn't say that right to any of you literature majors out there. But it's the Montague-Capulet war, right? Because they were forbidden, what happened to them? They became attracted. And so it's that mentality. And so be careful with that. I do not recommend forcing your kids to eat. We want them to try new stuff. We need them to eat their vegetables, but don't try to force it down their throats. Oh, and another thing when it comes to this too, encourage your kids to try new stuff. Invite them to try new things. And when you see one of them, like in my household, we have several kids. Grant is my little, like, if I've got my pocket knife out and I'm sharpening it, right? And my daughter walks up to me and I hold my knife up and I say, Anna, come here. Let me show you something. She looks at me and looks at that knife and goes, uh-uh, I ain't coming. But my son, Grant, if he walks up to me and I pull out my pocket knife while I've got it in my hand, I say, son, come here. He just looks at me and smiles and holds his hand out and comes walking up to me. I mean, he's my little dude who's just going to run right into it and just try it. So if you've got that one who's just going to run in and do it for you, make sure that when they try the vegetables, remember, we're not forcing them here, make sure you praise the one who does try them. Just don't even acknowledge the one who doesn't, but praise the one for trying. Not only just for trying the vegetables, but being willing to be brave and try something new. Or you can praise them for being willing to trust you and try something new. So that's another big thing. Number two. So number one, don't force your kids to eat. Number two, explain to your kids why we eat vegetables at a very, very young age. Before they're even old enough to start forming opinions on vegetables, start talking to them about why we eat vegetables. Because they give us energy, because they have lots of nutrients. However, if you study, because of the way we do a lot of farming and agriculture, we're not conditioning the soils that we're planting. We're just planting crops and then planting crops and planting crops, planting crops. We've lost a lot of the nutrition that is in the ground, so we've lost a lot of the nutrition in our vegetables. But the bottom line is, that's the mentality behind it, is we need those vegetables, those nutrients that are in them. Even just some of the, there's a medical term for it, and I can't remember the term of it, but the idea behind it is that it's natural fiber in your body. It's what kind of helps break things up. Excuse the crudity here, but it keeps you from having really hard stools in some cases, etc. And so talk to your kids about, why do we do that? Why do we eat vegetables? And start indoctrinate them on that when they're itty bitties. Indoctrinate on that when they're old enough to start understanding that as soon as you can. Then you can go ahead and get that. Then when it comes to really eating vegetables, that's all they've ever known. Number three, you yourself personally make a big deal about liking vegetables yourself. Guys, as a disclaimer, this only works when it's coupled to having a good relationship with your kids. Why is that? Good relationships with your kids equals your kids want to please you and they want to be like you. So when you build good relationships with your kids, they want to do what you do. They want to emulate you. They want to copy you. And so whenever you've got that really good relationship built up with them, and then you talk about how much you like vegetables, they'll often follow suit with you, and they'll like what you like, and they'll enjoy what you like. I grew up for the first probably, 19 to 20 years of my life, thinking that I hated onions and tomatoes, because my parents always hated onions and tomatoes on their hamburgers. And I always thought that I did too. And I finally started eating onions and tomatoes on my hamburger, and guess what I found out? I absolutely loved it. So make sure that you make a big deal about liking veggies so that way your kids want to follow you. Number four, promote change and new things as being excellent. We often don't do this. And most of the parents in modern culture now, it's not that they don't want to do these things, but it's just that they don't think to. They don't stop to think about promoting that and talk about change. And in reality, I think a lot of us really hate change. I'm one of those people from time to time. I really hate change, and I think it sucks sometimes. I don't want to try new things. I like to stick with what's worked for me and what I know is going to get what I like, right? So I think we get stuck in these ruts. And the problem comes down to is that most parents can't figure out why their kids won't try new things, and they get so upset with them, and they get so mad. Why won't you just try this? Or just trust me. But in reality, guess who taught them to be that way? In many cases, maybe even most cases, it was us that taught them to be that way. We are picky. We don't like to try new things, and then we get mad at our kids because they won't do it. So the bottom line is, most kids hate trying new things because guess who taught them to do that? We parents did. So I encourage you, try new stuff yourself. Let your kids see you trying these new things. And then once your kid does try the new things, what do you need to do? Oh yeah, the praise word. Praise the junk out of them for doing it. Let them know how proud you are of them, of being courageous and being brave to try something that they'd never tried before. That is a very, very big deal. So promote change and new things in your family by doing it first yourself. Number five, place small portions of veggies at the start. If you're trying to get a kid to like a new thing, don't load them up with a crap ton of vegetables and then expect them to eat it all. It's not going to happen, more than likely, unless you're going to scare them into it or something. But in getting them to that point where they'll enjoy and develop a taste for vegetables, it ain't going to happen, more than likely. You're probably going to hate them even more because it's that thing that mommy and daddy, quote-unquote, make me eat. Research has shown that it can take anywhere from 8 to 10 times of trying something before we acquire the taste, right? We talk about something being acquired taste. It can take anywhere between 8 to 10 times before the human mind can change those neurological pathways that allow us to go, oh, hey, I really like this. So be patient with your kids. Chill out when they don't eat it. Put small portions on there and start with that. And then you can build up. In light of this, too, also you can add stuff to give it flavor. Add a little bit of butter to it. Put a little bit of salt on it. If there's a certain sauce that they like if they like spaghetti sauce, add a little spaghetti sauce to those vegetables. Make some of your own spaghetti sauce if you want to try to get away from any of the real heavy, nasty derivatives or preservatives or whatnot. Make your own sauces and then just add them to things. And you'd be surprised at how quickly just boom. That can make a big difference to a kid whenever they've got something they like on something they don't like. And then what you begin to develop is, and this is where you get into neurology, and I love this part, but you begin to associate pleasure with this thing that they feel is unpleasurable. And human nature can very quickly do that. That's called, I believe, classical conditioning. And so anyway, use those things that your kids like. Add those things to them. I mean, be careful. Don't do it in excess. If your kid likes cheese on their broccoli, I don't recommend just, you know, like having a pile of cheese and then going, where's the broccoli and all that. I mean, you know, be frugal. But, you know, that's the idea. Add the good stuff to it. Number six, one of my favorites because it mixes in a military term I love. Camouflage your vegetables. Now, what am I saying? I'm not saying go out and buy, your vegetables, camis, some ACU cut combat trousers or something like that. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying go buy them any camo netting. What I mean is take them, chop them up, put them into soup. Understand, cooking any of your vegetables takes out some of those nutrients, but especially if it's right there at the start and we're trying to transition them to build up this positive mindset towards these vegetables, it could be a great thing to do. So camouflage them by doing things like putting them in soups, right? Chopping them up and putting them in there. Put them into salads and add their favorite dressing to it, right? If it's ranch dressing. We're in Texas, so we say ranch. It's ranch dressing. So add those dressings or whatever it is, those things that they like to them, to help disguise them and help create, again, that positive thing for them. And then also keep snacks available as vegetables, or keep vegetables available as snacks, depending on how you want to look at that. Keep those available and ready for them. And again, you know, the other thing is that you might have to cut back on the sweet snacks that you keep in your house. We were watching an article the other day on parents that have very grossly and morbidly obese children. And, they were talking about, I can't stop my kid. They just keep eating these things. And they'll come home and they'll snack on these snacks. And I'll try to say, no, don't do it. But then I come home and they do it anyway. And my wife said, well, yeah, but, just in retort to that person on TV, she goes, yeah, but aren't you the one who's still buying it and keeping it in the house? And, I mean, it's such a simple response to that. But it's also so heavy. If things are in the house where they can get a hold of those things, that's what they're going to eat, right? So take away the temptation. I'm no different, Whenever there's things in the house that taste really good to me, I want to go and eat them, and I do, right? So take them out, take away those things, and only provide them with those things that they can eat, like those vegetables. And then what happens is they learn that's the only thing that they've got. So keep those kinds of things available. And last, and it's one of my biggest ones, and we're probably going to spend one of the biggest times on this one. Number seven, don't bribe your children with dessert. This is a tough one, guys. Now, we're going to kind of separate this out. Some of you guys may be getting offended. Bear with me for just a minute. It may not be what you're thinking here. So what is a bribe, real quick? By definition, a bribe is anything given to persuade or influence, right? So don't give them dessert just to persuade or influence them to eat their vegetables. Now, you're going to hear me in just a second about how you can separate that a little bit differently, but there's a motive behind this that we're going to get into in just a minute. But why am I saying that? Number one, the reason why I'm saying that, don't bribe your kids with dessert. Ultimately, it turns vegetables into a bad thing. It's the thing that you've got to grin and bear it through to get to the really good stuff. It becomes the hard work that you've got to put up with till you can get to the good stuff, which is the dessert. Excuse me, guys. I'm sipping a little bit of a hot green tea there, too. And so we don't want that. We want vegetables are a wonderful thing. And let me tell you, one of the things that my wife has most emphatically taught me is you can take just about anything, season it right, and cook it right, and we can make it taste good. Forgive the crudity in this, but I always tell people that my wife Corey has taught me that you can take a doo-doo brick, a turd, a piece of fecal matter, and give it to my wife, and she could cook it and make it taste good. I mean, that she just has an uncanny ability as a culinary artist, is what I'm going to call her. She just has that ability to take things. And she's just one of those people that she just sits down and looks at something, she just tastes it, and she goes and eats some of this and some of that. She reminds me of the Ratatouille character, and how he just kind of instinctively knew what to put in there. She reminds me of that. But she can make anything taste good. And we can do that too. We can make veggies not a bad thing without having to hook them to getting their dessert. We can make it to where they go, yeah, give me some veggies, baby. We can. When done correctly, we can make it like that. So the bottom line is, don't hold sweets as a payment, right? Don't hold them as your payment form for them doing the job that they're performing. If you do desserts, I'm not dogging on that. We often will have little desserts at the end of the day, or we keep a little candy basket, and so after lunch they can actually choose to have one piece of candy now, or if they'll wait till that evening, they get two pieces of candy in the evening, and we're trying to teach them how to delay gratification with that. But they have that. So if you do desserts, if you do sweets after that, it's okay. Go ahead and do them. But instead of making them a bribe, so you're paying them in dessert to eat their vegetables, make not eating vegetables a consequence of they don't get to have dessert. So it's not about if you eat your vegetables, then I will pay you in dessert. It's about I need you to eat those vegetables, and if you don't, one of the consequences that you're gonna have is you're gonna lose your dessert. Some might say, "Well, Trey, how do you make that logical?" That's a tough one because it's a split hair here. But I say it works like this. We take the approach of if you don't eat the good stuff, the stuff that's good for your body, you don't have what you need to be able to metabolize and process and live healthy and break down your dessert. So that's one of my recommendations as a personal one. You may say, Trey, that skims the line too close for me. I could certainly understand and respect that. But something, one of those to be chewing on. So again, I want to re-summarize again. Remember, guys, it's not about paying kids in dessert, but it's about using the consequences of not being able to have dessert because they didn't eat the vegetables. Remember that. It's very, very important. Those are very different motives that we're talking about there with different outcomes. So remember, vegetables are good. Vegetables are awesome. I understand why a lot of kids don't like vegetables. I hated beets. Hated them. Absolutely thought they were nasty little things. They tasted like big old dirt balls as far as I was concerned. And, we started a garden a few years ago, and we started gardening, and we've fallen in love with it. We started just with these two little tiny kids' pools, a little plastic kid pools you get at Walmart. We started out with some of those with just some herbs and stuff like that, and we've built our way up into where now we've got a garden the size of a garden that is bigger than the square footage of our house. And let me tell you, I planted beets, and I was nervous, but let me tell you, those beets are so good, I could eat them like an apple. And really, since we started this gardening, we've become amazed at how just destroyed the vegetables that you get from the store really are. And most of you probably heard the story, like tomatoes. One of the things they do with tomatoes is, we know if we drop a tomato, if we hit a tomato too hard, what happens to it? It bruises. Well, the distributors who buy and bring tomatoes into the stores know this too. And so what they do is they actually pick them all green. They bring all their tomatoes in green, and then what they do is they subject them to high amounts of carbon dioxide so that way they'll redden very, very quickly. Well, that's not a vine-ripened and a vine-matured tomato. So what you're getting really is something that has been non-naturally subjected to extra gases in a way it was never designed to be. So you get a vegetable that doesn't take the way it was supposed to. And let me tell you, man, we had some tomatoes. We had, oh, gosh, our tomatoes came in late. Down here in Texas this summer, we had a really hard summer, very dry and extremely hot, and we lost a large majority of our stuff. We were able to keep our tomato plants alive, and finally they started producing, and, man, they were just kicking out buttloads of stuff. But right about then, a major freeze came, and we lost probably, I'd say probably 75 to 90% of our crop, and I was so sad. But before that happened, I was picking those out. And let me tell you, those tomatoes were so sweet. They were so good. They were so juicy and flavorful. It was absolutely amazing. And those beets, man, were so incredible. Were so incredible. And it was really neat to be able to walk out and just pluck a piece of kale or pluck some lettuce or some spinach off, pop it in your mouth and eat it. And it just, it almost, literally, guys, it was almost sweet. So also consider gardens. I love gardens. There's very few things that I feel like really you get kind of connected back to doing some manual labor, getting your hands in the dirt. And guys, I'm not some, you know, environmentalist to the left, you know, kind of, you know, you get it. Not one of those guys, but I do believe in taking care of what we've got. I do believe in taking care of your patch of land, and I love gardening. And gardening is a very good way to do that, to create your own crop. It cuts back on bills. We got to a point where we were going outside and plucking huge basketfuls of lettuce and bringing those back inside, and we would wash what we could use. We would put away about 4 or 5 days' worth, and then we would still have about a half basket that we would take over to our neighbors and give to them. So get you a garden started. It is some work, but let me tell you, it pays off. You'll love it. You'll enjoy it. You'll have a lot of fun with it. And I'll promise you this, I've never seen my kids eat more salad than when we were picking it fresh out of the garden. Well, guys, that is all that I have for today. As always, consider sharing this on Facebook and Twitter. I've got buttons right above this play bar that you press to get this playing on the website. There's the ability to like or retweet. Guys, remember, it is all about the relationships. A lot of what we talked about today on 1 through 7 doesn't work unless you are building good relationships with your kids by playing with them, by talking with them, by listening to them, all that other good relationship stuff. Guys, I want to say thank you for joining us today for this episode of Family Podcast Network, where we hope we work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. You guys have a good week. We will see you guys at the next episode.